And I am homesick for my old Montana home. How I long for that land of shining mountains, where they rise. Those mountains call me back to my Montana home.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Perception Management with Keith Rogers, live from Western Montana. The phone lines temporarily are closed because I have a lot of material here, but hopefully I'll open up later here. But today is Sunday, the 27th day of December, 2020. So good evening to all from beautiful Western Montana. Join us in the chat room at perceptionmanagement.chattengo.com. Tonight's theme is the myth about the New World Order, which you'll find out isn't no myth. Anyway, I'm dead tired tonight, so bear with me. I've noticed, folks, that they're talking a lot about the end of the millennium, and there's a lot of fixation on the planets aligning and stuff, you know. But there's more important things out there. I often think of where this country and the world is today, and how I remember it was when I was growing up as a man wanting to get married, have a son, to carry on the family name, and so on. However, I did get three beautiful daughters and three granddaughters, who if Gates and Fauci and others get their way, this might be the end of all families, as well as all other cultural Marxism of this gender bending. And this is by no means an accident. I have a presentation for you tonight that might better explain where we as a country once were and now am today. And so with that, I've got a kind of like a slideshow for you tonight with some commentary. So I'll go ahead and delve into the first one here. It's just a 22-second clip here, okay?
On the eve of the new millennium, international terrorism, civil and economic chaos, and the growing availability of weapons of mass destruction present an endless array of threats that the world's national security concerns could not have predicted, even as recently as the end of the Cold War.
So, this audio presented was made right before the year 2000, so that's 20 years ago. This entire series or segment will be about the Navy SEALs, but it can equally be applied to today's entire militaries in the world, as well as today's law enforcement. But tonight I'm dealing with the United States for now. So, this video is like a PR stunt. It shows on television 20 years ago, and it many miss the actual contents of it. Me, who studies the CIA and stuff like that, I didn't miss it, so... Anyway, they were trying to build up you to this millennium and not to see those security forces of the United States of America, but as a security force of the world, their new world order. And these points will ring a bell as I go into this new world order as it marches on. It's coined by the phrases of full spectrum dominance, the new normal, and it's sold to you as just like the Iraq War was. You're either with us or you're either with us or against us, and now we're all in this together. Terrorism has waned, so now it's a virus. Actually, terrorism actually waned, but the targets have changed. What's sad is that in many in the armed forces only think that they are serving their country, yet time and time the wars are all proven to have been started by lies. And I don't fault them, just their ignorance. And you recall here on that video clip of John Pilger talking about China, where that military commander was talking about the synergy of the United States, about basically just wiping out. No one wants to come to bear with the United States. And so this is where we're at tonight. The United States is basically the cheerleader for this New World Order here. They have the financial means, the military means, and the problem here that most people don't see is, and I'll get into this a little bit later here about this voting and stuff, they're picking all the countries that it seems like they've had failed coups on and have been openly trying to overthrow, either financially or what, through massive sanctions and stuff. And this is all through NATO, the United States, EU, and, of course, Brussels with Schwab and all these guys. But they're using the bankroll of the United States to do it, and, of course, it's military might. So here's another small clip here.
Experienced in unconventional special operations missions is the U.S. Navy SEALs, classified maritime special operations unit trained to respond to conflicts around the globe. Today's threats to world peace have reinforced the demand for a rapid, smaller military response to situations where a full-scale military intervention is not practical.
All right, so notice here, they didn't say a threat to the United States. They said a threat to world peace. The United States has become a policeman of the world. And this is where we're going with this tonight. So you'd understand this more by the veto power the United States has with the United Nations, as they actually work for the United Nations. This can well be seen if you're following anything in politics today. The United Nations becomes a world government when it was formed in 1945, and then the Senate ratified that United Nations Act, and it was signed by President Truman. And we constantly hear about the disarmaments, and I mean, it's all designed to push us into this new world order. So with that, there's these other conflicts again, and this is where we're getting into this, the so-called lies of how they sell these wars and stuff. But they'll talk here in this next little short clip here about these other conflicts, or then war, or is translated unconstitutional, unlawful military actions. And these unlawful actions are presented as legal. It's, I guess you could call it definition benders. One law, the Constitution, and that's what we're supposed to go by.
We need to be careful before we decide to go in that direction.
Over two-thirds of the world's population and economic infrastructure is located within 300 miles of the coastline. Using small teams of boats and men, riverine warfare is a potential battleground for clandestine SEAL-type operations. However, the political risks are many, the results unpredictable.
The buzzword is low-intensity conflicts, or conflicts other than war. These are wars that are short of actual shooting battles, where you want to send a small, deniable group in to affect some type of outcome.
Okay, and that's usually a hit on a power plant, or you know, like what they're doing in Venezuela, what they've tried to do in Iran, and a little bitty boat gets picked up. You've got a bunch of crying Navy personnel sitting on that boat. But this is the same premise, the same thing with Syria. And again, the conquest of that is to is they have to bring these other countries in that are independent into this new world order, and they're going to use every means that they can to fabricate something so that the American people buy that. Of course, the reason why they have to buy it is because they have to send their sons. So here's another small clip.
Warfare is the new battleground for low-intensity conflicts. Large platoon maneuvers are a different approach for SEAL teams used to operating in squads of eight men or less. Mock urban settings like this one allow 16 and 18-man SEAL platoons to practice new tactics in settings far different from the jungles of Vietnam or the deserts of the Gulf War.
Yeah, I've got old videos where they talk about how the Soviets used to set up mock villages or towns and stuff like that of the United States in prepping for the invasion, you know. But, you know, just flip the coin here. It's This is where the United States have been using their soldiers for quite a long time here, doing all these mock training drills in what they call this urban warfare. And as we go on tonight, you'll find out that although it's touted as having something to do with extending freedoms to somewhere, it has nothing to do with that. What it is installing their Vichy governments. You can't have world conquest or a new world order without first taking out those independent countries. So with that, I got another little clip here, which we'll talk about more about this urban warfare and see how proud these guys are for their training and stuff.
For the first time, cameras were allowed into the secretive world of the U.S. Navy SEAL teams. Despite restrictions on filming certain classified subjects, the events pictured here are actual training and military operations never before seen by the public. With a muster of less than 2,500 men, the U.S. Navy SEALs is the smallest American Special Operations Combat Force.
We are preparing men to go into harm's way and defend freedom. They operate in austere conditions with a small number of men in very demanding and highly classified missions. And in combat, there's winners and there's losers. The difference between combat and in sports is they bury the guy who comes in second place.
Wow. That doesn't sound much like freedom if you have to go in there and do this all covertly, does it? Now, further, we'll get into this where usually they use the main premise of, like, say, the war on drugs as a premise, which you'll hear later is going to be, in the rest of this audio, a direct contradiction to all that is known. And with that urban-style warfare, or what we call guerrilla warfare, this is where, again, they send their little goons and their paramilitary ones, like they just did down in Venezuela not too long ago, and who got caught, arrested, and I guess a couple got whacked off, but life-wise, that is. But anyway, and this is done all over the world in these covert operations, usually set up by the CIA. And you can bet also this is planned for America, too, now. And you'll kind of get this as you listen to this urban warfare. And, of course, what will be their selling point to those SEALs? Well, that's the key. There are these countless videos of those conducting their training in the cities here in America. So, again, this is urban warfare.
You can see the movement as far as the teams going from not only guerrilla warfare, going into, I don't want to say so much of a conventional warfare, but more of an urban warfare.
Okay, so now we're going to start talking about this guerrilla warfare. I mean, remember, this is all done under the cloak of freedom and democracy. And this next video here will be, or audio for you, will be enforcing the peace. And let me ask you something. Where does any military or even the U.S. military ever enforce the peace? It's not what they do. So with that, under the cloak of freedom and that democracy, you know, Marx and Lenin said that democracy was indispensable to socialism. The end goal of socialism is communism, and that the definition of peace is the end of all opposition to socialism. So with that there, I have another little clip here for you.
Smaller geopolitical war zones are battlefields where enforcing the peace has become as deadly as fighting a war.
So here we have the Navy SEALs. They're dedicating to keeping the peace, and you can add some emphasis on that. Now, what's weird about this is, again, we're talking about a peaceful, like a military policing, except that's not their job. But we're going to give another 55 seconds of listening here, and you're going to hear something here about how they like to, or what they think of prisoners and stuff like that. This is total urban warfare.
This is the M14 battle rifle. It's chambered for the 7.62x51 NATO cartridge. This is not a puny M16. This is a full-size 30 caliber battle rifle employed by the Navy SEAL teams. Other services use this weapon as a sniper rifle, and we use it that way too. But we also carry it on an individual basis out in the field. This is a very robust rifle, very accurate out to long ranges, beyond 800 yards. If you have to shoot men that are behind emplacements, cover, this is the rifle you want to do it with. It penetrates the brush. It goes through bunkers. It goes through branches, through walls, through automobile sheet metal and glass. It also works extremely well in adverse conditions, Arctic conditions.
So, you know, this is like selling this virus here. Like, we're all in this together. There will be those who have no problem killing you. They already have people snitching on one another. And again, this is all being sold right now through the decades here of Panama and all those right on up the line, you know, Afghanistan. Remember, it was all about the drugs. Have they cleaned any of that up? No. As a matter of fact, you can even go on YouTube right now and watch all these beautiful movies down in Bolivia and stuff of those people that actually go to work every day picking coca leaves. And certain states and stuff have legalized it down there. But it's a process of turning the coca leaves into cocaine. And that's what a lot of them don't have the process of doing. This is where Colombia comes in into respect. Of course, I would guess why NATO is in Colombia, too. And why the United States is in Honduras. So let's get this narco-terrorist.
One of the biggest activities that our special operators are involved in is counter-drug operations. This is a major activity for the SEALs as well. The Navy SEALs are also out there working in the regions supported by the special boat units as well as the patrol coastals, which are really not craft but ship. It's a 171-foot ship that is now a favorite of those law enforcement agencies that are involved in counter-drug operations, so that you typically see Navy SEALs supporting the work of the patrol coastals in the Caribbean, and of course they're also in the Persian Gulf.
Powerful narco-terrorist organizations have created political instability in their own countries and radically altered the perception of what constitutes a threat to U.S. national interests.
See, these are national interests. You can't tell me that all these different various countries around the world can't contain or take care of their own drug problems with their own law enforcement. You can research DES and see how sweeping powers they have clear across this globe. And I'll get more into that here. I have a break coming up here. But like I said, this is the same premise used in Panama, Afghanistan, other countries, Venezuela, narco kingpin Maduro. Anyway, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Perception Management.
Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolate.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My friends are gone and my hair is gray. I ache in the places where I used to play. And I'm crazy for love, but I'm not coming home. I'm just paying my rent every day in the Tower of Song. I said to Hank Williams, how lonely does it get? Hank Williams hasn't answered yet, but I hear him coughing all night long. Oh, 100 floors above me in the Tower of Song.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Keith Rogers here on Perception Management. As I was saying here, you know, this all ties back to the State Department. And again, their target is the governments, not the drugs, as the CIA's own history of drugs and the DHS cutting deals with the cartels have allowed the drugs into USA. We've had the billions of dollars in cartel money laundered by the banks and stuff. So if this was about drugs, you know. But this is where that Iron Mountain report back in 1967 comes out, where the report from Iron Mountain was put into a book that was published back then. It was about the Johnson administration. And the book includes a claim that it was authored by a special study group of 15 men whose identities were to remain secret and that it was not intended to be made public. It details all the analysis of government panel in which it concludes that war, or a credible substitute for war, is necessary if governments are to maintain power. And this is how they do that. So, and I've brought out here before these certain drug headlines where it says, CIA manages drug trade, Mexican officials say. Another one is reports to CIA working with Mexican drug cartels. Another one, trafficker, U.S. feds aided Mexican drug cartel. Another headline, Mexican drug trafficker says he worked with the feds. Stratfor sources also says U.S. troops in Mexico as feds aid the cartels. And then Congress probes the DEA drug money laundering scheme. And another one, the feds launder, feds let Mexican cartel hitmen kill in the United States, the senior lawmaker told Stratford. And of course, then we have Fast and Furious. And then the FBI now linked to the murder of that U.S. border agent. And you can add the ATF, BATF in there too. So, but now we get into how they slyly say this here, how they talk about these coastal waters and stuff, and what the SEALs.
Special boat squadrons deploy throughout the world and play a major role in the supporting and training of anti-drug forces in Central and South America. The Hurricane-class coastal patrol craft is the first designed for Navy special warfare use. With two 25mm guns, Stinger anti-aircraft missiles, and other weapons, it carries enough firepower for enforcing counter-drug operations along coastal waters. A range of 2,000 miles and a cruising speed of 12 knots makes its primary tasks coastal patrol and supporting SEAL units.
All right, so, you have to listen to the boat's range and stuff like that, but this is where they have to operate outside the 12-mile limits and where no nation has a jurisdiction to go other than that because they're bound by international law. And yet we still have the United States who are stopping and seizing vessels or sinking them or raiding oil ships like those with Iran and Venezuela. And this is the crux of the whole thing here. So we're going to get into this now. So I want you to hear it from their own mouth here. This is a top-notch officer. So listen closely on this one.
U.S. Navy SEALs and special boat units are training other nations to fight a counter-drug war in the Amazon River basins of South America. For secret intelligence operations with no clear battle lines, SEALs and the special boat units have developed into an effective, independent riverine counter-drug force. This is one of the missions of the so-called Groundwater Navy.
Right now, the world situation is changing, and our relationship with the Third World is evolving. And one of the things that we do as Naval Special Warfare Forces is represent the military with small people with only the big footprint. So we're not really doing anything different to adjust to the New World Order. I think that the New World Order is making us a more valuable resource than we were before because the focus is more on the things that we're trained to do.
Did you hear that?
Right now, the world situation is changing, and our relationship with the Third World is evolving. And one of the things that we do as Naval Special Warfare Forces is represent the military with small people with only the big footprint. So we're not really doing anything different to adjust to the New World Order. I think that the New World Order is making us a more valuable resource than we were before because the focus is more on the things that we're trained to do.
Yeah, the world, actually you should have said the United Nations, is making them a valuable resource. This was a Navy admiral speaking. So not that the United States is making them a more valuable resource, as I said, but the New World Order is making them valuable. And this is our problem that we have today because all these boys that go off to service, and there's nothing wrong with serving your country, but this country hasn't been attacked. They're out there plundering and pillaging other countries. And I think that's a sad result of why we're seeing the rash of suicides, both in active duty and also in veterans. It's sad, too, because when you start looking at the cost of life, I talked with the retired Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson last week there, and even he sent me another email lately that he hadn't been aware of all those suicides of active duty, at least. So, but this is because these guys are tricked into these theaters of operation. And again, all it is about overthrowing country after country. And that's because you have to bring them underneath the wings of the great American Eagle, who's going to be fluttering you into this new world order. And that's who's bankrolling this entire thing through the Federal Reserve. It's central banks. It's actually pretty sad there too. So actually, they're actually helping bring their own demise to their own country, and that's the sad part of it. I don't know if my break is coming up now or not, but anyway, I have another small clip here. It's about 25 seconds long here, so I'll I'll go ahead and copy and paste this here, and if I don't hear the music, I'll go ahead and play it. So, hang on.
Wars may be in Latin America and Central America on the river stopping drug traffic, and they may have to adopt to that.
The United States is attempting to strategically reprioritize its military and national intelligence focus as a response to the wave of religious, state, and criminal terrorism throughout the world.
Notice that religious, state, and criminal terrorism. This isn't war. They're not enemies of the United States either, or Americans. And of course, they're not naming these foreign countries and not someone actually declaring war on America. Just as it was okay when they were targeting, say, Muslims, but now all over the world is being Christians. We have the confirmed use of these front groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS and other extremists. Like anyone else who defends this country as white nationalists or Christians, they're also now targeting them by closing their churches. I mean, this is a psychological warfare on everyone. And this, like I say, it's going on throughout the world. It's burning churches, name it, you know. Anything religious is being destroyed, and that's part of that New World Order. I mean, you can look this up. It's no longer a conspiracy. And then, of course, and who's the world states? Now, that's interesting here to hear this comment, hear this. Someone talks about the world states. I mean, why would the United States be interested in the world states? Again, we're back to this military police in action. That it has 800 and some odd bases all over the world.
Knowing full well, particularly those that represent rogue states, that they can't confront us in a conventional sense, they're looking for ways to get at our people in unconventional ways. And that's why special operations forces, particularly the Navy SEALs, are adept and available for that kind of unconventional threat.
Counter-drug operations have become an important special operations mission throughout South America.
All right, so... Again, we're back to this drug operation. But that's the same thing they used before. First, it was the commies down out through Central and South America. But in fact, they weren't targeting commies down there. Otherwise, the United States would have been at war, you know. They were killing Catholics and priests, Protestants, nuns, bishops. And this has been going on for a long, long time. And there he says it again. He says, criminal groups. In those countries, not militaries, but criminals. So again, we're back to this law enforcement. And again, just to dive that point home there in your brain there again, law enforcement.
Criminal groups inside Colombia, Peru, and Bolivia routinely smuggle hundreds of tons of cocaine a year to the United States.
Well, again, NATO has moved down there to Colombia in 2018. And, of course, we have Israel selling arms to Honduras to feed MS-13 and stuff. I mean, do you see how this whole thing works? They just keep it going. It's like throwing fuel on a fire. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier there about these YouTube videos of them picking coca leaves, this is almost like that CNN reporter who just oddly stumbled into bin Laden's camp with no effort to stop him. It is the governments that are targeting, like I mentioned before, like these failed coups in Bolivia recently. And even after three delayed elections, the party that they wanted out won. And that's because people want their independence, and they'll fight for it. And you look right now and you see what Germany and the Czech Republic's doing. The Yellow Vests are out by the thousands again. They want their freedoms back. And yet no one in America wants to get off their butt, it seems like. And I think that's why Steve and a few of us get a little bit frustrated there. And we realize that we're talking to more of a targeted audience here, that most of the people listening are probably in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, probably some 80s. And there's no way to reach the youth there because they're too embedded with their sexual endeavors, their video games and stuff. They're totally distracted, and they don't realize what's coming upon them. And, of course, they never like to hear this about In My Day stuff. So you can't explain to them how nice America was before and then what they've got coming. So anyway. And, again, let's go to another small 12-second clip here and listen more about the so-called policing of these criminal groups.
The kinds of terrorist groups that we're seeing emerge today, they are engaged in criminal activity, but they are also engaged in a kind of asymmetrical warfare against American interests.
That might be like blowing up embassies or something like that, where people get pissed off and say, get out of the of Iraq and stuff, and the United States won't leave. So, but now here's the important thing. More of this New World Order stuff, when they're talking about boundaries melting. What kind of boundaries?
As we operate today and as we prepare for the future, as boundaries melt and we're dealing more and more with transnational threats, I think that increasingly special operations forces will be operating in what I would call the seam between war and crime.
Yeah, so you can tell this how this is working as a world police force, as I mentioned, with all those bases there. It's no wonder that as countless millions of Americans are losing everything, that the first to get any money is the Pentagon with another $740 billion more. This never ends. And, of course, dealing with a civilian problem, they have to go back and find a way to do this without raising the ire of the civilians back home. And this could be of any coalition member too, by the way, but the civilians are becoming the problem.
Yes, it's a combat sort of thing. Yes, we could obviously bring military capabilities to bear on the problem, but do we as a country want to declare war with the military might that we have on what is perceived at this point in time as a civilian problem? As soon as you start to interject a military solution on a civilian situation, you raise all kinds of issues that we have not yet dealt with.
Yeah. Well, that's just like an outright assault on our Constitution there. It's the same thing Oliver North and Poindexter said over and over and over, the shadow government. And we're looking at how they deal with this stuff. Like look at our American cities and stuff.
Warfare is the new battleground for low intensity conflicts. Large platoon maneuvers are a different approach for SEAL teams used to operating in squads of 8 men or less. Mock urban settings like this one allow 16 and 18-man SEAL platoons to practice new tactics in settings far different from the jungles of Vietnam or the deserts of the Gulf War.
Well, that's in direct contradiction, isn't it? Because the U.S. has a policy that they don't do assassinations, and yet that's exactly what they do. Again, deploying these SEALs against civilians. And what gets me is the groupthink on this, about how gung-ho these guys are on this training. They just love the training there. And whenever you train, you train in hopes that you don't go to war, but you got itchy fingers.
We do train a lot, and the day does kind of drag out sometimes, and training does get kind of boring once you've done it over and over and over the same thing. But it's all about, you know, that pipe dream. It's all about waiting to go. And if you're lucky enough to be there when your number gets called, well, good on you, and that's what everybody's waiting for.
And this gets right back to the same thing again here. Killing people, and as a SEAL team officer talks about, it's unlawful use of force. And this here is kind of a telltale sign here, too. I like the closing words on this.
Most SEAL operators view the media with suspicion. In the age of information, there is an inherent uneasiness between SEALs and anyone they suspect might reveal their mission capabilities to the outside world.
That is really clear!
The best rumors started about SEAL Team have been started by people who were never in SEAL Team who tell people they are SEALs.
Demo Team in!
The best stories that have ever come up are coming up from people who've never even met a SEAL, let alone had anything to do with SEAL Team. Most of us just go along with it and laugh, you know, because, yeah, that's a good story. We can do that. The best way of putting it is, we're not that good. It's just everybody else sucks.
Yeah, so the thing here is, don't suck. Be prepared. You can be assured that soon they will attempt to go after the guns here in America, as those misdirected individuals and their group think that they will be doing their country a favor until it's too late. I've seen this over and over, just like all those people that join the School of Americas. You get down there and slaughtering your own kind like that, and things happen. Their Stasi pogrom is operating full force now with all the Karens out there screaming, people calling the cops on you, and then there's big tech, much of which you see as all these bogus headlines, and of course we know who's funding them. It's not China either. China, like all others, are on their list to be dealt with. And then I have this last clip here, and then the phone lines will be open if someone wants to call in here. So this one here is more on this unlawful use of force, and this should shock most people.
Want to be around, and that's the kind of people that seals off.
It's very difficult to put what we do in a context that somebody who doesn't do it will understand. The context we do those things in is in defense of this country, in defense of this democracy. We do it at the request, only at the request and direction of the civilian leadership. Call that a commercial, if you will.
SEAL's strategy for victory is based on the principles of an uncomplicated plan and keeping movements concealed. To gain speed on target, full-scale dress rehearsals are conducted whenever possible.
To put yourself at risk unnecessarily is not what we're looking for. We're not looking for that guy at all because he jeopardizes everyone. We want that professional, very focused individual that'll go in harm's way in a heartbeat.
If you weren't, you'd be like any other organization, which is too bad. Okay, I lost. It's too bad. That's no way to be. You'll never win that way. And when you're trying to win, I mean, you're winning with your life sometimes.
Despite the monotony that inevitably comes from the relentless training schedule they follow, SEALs never stray far from their ultimate hope, to be called upon to go to war.
Well, hell yeah. Think about it all the time. I mean, this isn't G.I. Jane. This is the real deal. We're here to fight. We come down here to train these guys and to get a little bit more of training for ourselves. But the bottom line is it's all about combat. It's all about going.
Most weapons used by a SEAL platoon are modified to fit personal requirements for weight and dependability. The M60 is normally a crew-served weapon, but in a SEAL platoon, it is carried by one man. The platoon life of the M60 gunner is burdened by the extra 35 to 45 pounds of weapon and ammunition he must carry.
I did 5 platoons carrying an M60, and it's not fun. The platoon can only move as fast as its slowest man. Slowest man is always your 60 gunner, period. And people are like, come on, dude, let's move, all right? You know, they're mad at you. It takes you longer to get up a cliff, takes you longer to get across the river. But when you start rocking and rolling out there, they love you. And the other guys, they know that there's a wall of lead out there. And there's that sound that keeps the enemy's head down, and they can concentrate on picking the guys off.
When you're in a combat role, things are in the soup. Things are happening pretty quick. The decision-making process, you usually will have about a second and a half maybe to make a decision to move on. And a person that cannot do that, he doesn't have much of a chance for survival, and the men that are looking to him for that decisiveness, that leadership, they don't have much of a chance either.
Go ahead and kill there because I got a couple of calls here. But what we see here is a direct contradiction to the Constitution. These are guys that are waging war on innocent countries that have never attacked the United States, and they're using this so-called drugs and other things as regime change. And again, they're going into a country and they're destroying everything. And what gets me now is finally with the political spectrum right now, when people talking about martial law, insurrection, would it not sadly be funny if their own chants that they actually helped usher in this planned takeover, as once a government gains power, they never give it back. Patty in Missouri.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I do. Go ahead, Granny.
Okay, well, I just wanted to harp on the New World Order for a minute.
Sure.
We know the UN, United Nations, Agenda 21, 2030. Everything we're seeing is falling under that. You're even hearing
sure
the
is.
Commies now in the blue states, the governors, they're screaming for our private property to be banned. That's Agenda 21. Yep. And all of these people doing this, they're all communists. And
remember, I sent that link, Patty, about how the Chinese are actually opening it up for land ownership.
You know, what I'm saying, though, we knows who took communism to China. The Jews did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who took it to Russia? The Jews. So what we have here are Sabbatean, Illuminati, Jesuit, Zionist Sabbateans that were known as the Jacobins. They're Illuminati, and they were known as the Jacobins during the French Revolution. They started because everybody had done figured out they were Illuminati, so they changed their name to Jacobins. But anyway, that's who's behind all of this. And this will not be a new world order. They are deceiving you. This is an old world order of Babylonian feudalism. Total control. The only difference now is they own the technology. That's where we're headed. Israel is trying to raise ancient Babylon so they can seat their Antichrist, who they call their Moshiach. But anyway, if we don't stand up against this, we're all doomed. Because we know where we're headed. We're headed to the FEMA camps where the guillotines are, which also brings to mind the Noahide laws. That's what they're preparing us for, too.
Yeah, they keep signing those into law, don't they?
Yeah. And so, you know what? They come around here. That's why I said I'd like to have a Gatling gun. I'd mow them all down. At least I'm going to be on my feet. I'm going to be on my feet fighting rather than on my knees wearing a damn mask.
That's it. All right, anyway, I got another call.
That's all I got to say. Okay.
All right, my love to you. Okay, we'll catch you on the line here a little bit. Alan in Texas. Yeah, take care. Alan in Texas.
Yeah, Keith, I don't know how this happened, but an hour before your program came on, I called my co-host and said, I know what I want to talk about next Sunday morning. You know, I do Republic of Texas Radio in the morning, and I don't know how you got on this, but thank you for your program. I can't play the film clips and everything else. I can tell you what I experienced, the people I've talked to. I was living outside Fort Chaffee, Arkansas in 75 when all the Vietnamese were airlifted over. I actually talked to some of the people that came out of Vietnam and the hell that they went through. And, you know, thank you for your program. I'm going to continue on with exactly what you're talking about tonight. The Special Forces, Green Berets, they are not people to be looked up to. They are just people that like killing. I mean, it's what has been done to this society, to this world around us, Keith, just sucks. And I thank you for your program. I'll get off. I will continue.
Well, Alan, before you go, Alan, have you heard me on my dissertation about Vietnam?
No, I have not heard that. I'm not internet capable. Like I said, I'm a gay man. I've kept myself out of this crap. But I've talked to World War II veterans. Everyone, this is shit. It's a shit world, Keith.
Okay, Alan, hang on. Okay, I'm going to play you a clip real fast, and I have another call here. But this is this is prior to Vietnam. Okay,
let me really repeat it here. There is no two Vietnams. There is only one Vietnam, temporarily divided in Geneva in 1954 between a free zone with the North Vietnam and an occupied zone, occupied by the French. But then the French had still, after Geneva, the jurisdiction over South Vietnam, because they could not hand it over to a regime which did not exist. It's not even mentioned in the Geneva Agreement. The regime of Saigon is only a temporary one in waiting for election.
And you ought to have sat with me on the Foreign Relations Committee in 1956 when our intelligence forces brought in their reports warning that if the election called for by the Geneva Accords for July 1956 were held, Ho Chi Minh would be elected president in South Vietnam by at least 80% of the vote. And our country, that boasts about believing in self-determination, used its power and its prestige and its influence really to get our first puppet government under GM not to cooperate in holding those elections. That's just a matter of historic record.
So there you have it, Alan. That was the bogus thing to get.
Kissinger's Memo 300. were pawns to be used in their games. You know, we usually. Thank you, Keith. I will continue on with what you're talking about for 2 hours that I have on Sunday morning. Thank you for your show. Thank
well, if you,
you
if you have my email, if you Alan, if you have my email, drop me a line there, and I'll send you a video you can watch.
I don't do email. I don't do computers.
Oh, okay.
If you want to talk with me, Keith, Ken will give you my number. I would love to talk
right.
with you anytime.
All right, sounds good, okay? My best to you, Alan.
Thank
have
you,
a
sir.
Good night, okay? All right, James in Vancouver.
Yes, a lot of this, in my estimate...
A lot of what? Are you there, James?
Hello.
James, speak up. There you go.
Yeah.
I heard you.
Okay. A lot of this, in my my analysis, it goes back to the Monroe Doctrine of 1823.
Mm-hmm.
You know, United States declared South America and Central America essentially to be theirs. Hello?
Yeah, well, that's no different than what they devised under the Marshall Plan, to where it's like everything was bombed in Europe,
yeah.
and they thought, well, yeah. you know, since they just retool here and they'd sell their wares. But the only way they could do that, though, James, is they had to destroy all the unions. The same thing, like right now in Colombia and Honduras, thousands of union workers and leaders and civil rights leaders have been assassinated. They assassinate them here, and they blame it on communism. Why would communists care about workers' wages and stuff like it? Do you see how the lies go?
Well, no, there is. Yes, I understand that. But the interesting thing is it's come home to roost with this vaccine and this COVID thing. This vaccine, now they're after us, you see.
Yeah, they're actually denying health care, saying you can't have surgery and stuff unless you have the vaccination.
Yeah.
And of course, didn't you? Yeah.
But the vaccine is toxic, I think.
Yeah, of course it is. And now we have the UN guy from the UN saying that he wants to ban free speech on the internet because of people's decisions on this vaccination, you know.
Yeah, well, you see, this is the important thing about RBN. At least we can talk about things and analyze it, and that's probably a threat to, you know, to common sense.
And that's why they don't want you gathering, too, because if you're gathering, then that means you can sit there and talk with each other.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this is not communist-inspired. This is big bankers and big money people doing it. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, big
Vietnam was all about Vietnam was all about big money, you know?
Well, it's like Trump. When Trump got this prescription costs lowered like that, that was one thing. But remember how many billions of dollars these pharmaceutical places have gotten in exchange for this virus stuff.
Well, yeah, yeah. So big money is doing it, and this is a war just like any other war, I figure.
Yeah, and the people suffer.
Yep, right. And
it's
they all
about control.
And they're dying for this stuff. They all want it. They're wearing their masks. And you can't talk to them. You can't say, hey, you know, you really think there's a virus out there? They just won't listen.
No, that's just it. Well, like I said, it's like that you're either with us or against us. They've got that embedded in their mind that the government would never lie to them, you know.
Well, W. Bush, that was ridiculous. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. Well, excuse me, you know. But anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, my best to you, okay?
Yeah, all the best to you, sir. Thank you.
All right. You take care there. I'm trying to find my stupid notepad. I can't find it. Bear with me. I got this Windows 10 here, and I rarely use the thing because I can't stand it. Anyway, hang on. I just want to put a little post here, but... Oh, crap. A pin number. Told you I never use a thing here. Anyway, I'll save that later. What else I gonna do? Do I have enough time? Yeah, I got enough time for one more little small clip here. This is their targeted killings, and like say This is where they're taking out human lives, all to push this New World Order stuff, and no one's attacked America.
There's an example to be made, and somebody wants to use the best forces that are available. Again, we have to go to a much higher level that's going to authorize the use of American military in that role.
Yeah, so, no, you know, who's going to do that? Well, he said it himself. It comes from civilians that do it, so that's those in your Pentagon. Remember, the Pentagon is Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson said it was supposed to be ran from a civilian aspect. It wasn't supposed to have someone in military in there. I hear an echo. But it wasn't supposed to be ran from an aspect of having a military commander in there, because who would the military want? It'd be just like these Navy SEALs that are just itching to get to war. So you want a civilian in there. But, of course, that's not how things work there. So, what do you do? where's my address book? Isn't working on this thing here. I'm trying to forward a number to my own email here from the other computer here. So anyway, that's basically all I have for the show here tonight. But I just want to clue you people in on that. And let people realize that, sadly, a lot of the U.S. boys that are serving, that are getting their legs blown off, maimed for life and stuff, I'll call it shadow ban from the VA. Remember that IG report where 307,000 veterans died at the hands of the VA, not some enemy, but at the VA. And then we see, since this COVID thing, over 1,000 veterans have died, just like these old folks in these old folks' homes like that, shut up in these shelters. Life is so cheap, and they will allow people to die to push their agenda. And I think this delay or so-called fixation on problems with the vaccines is part of that delay, because remember, this pogrom is supposed to end in 2025. So that's about it. Anyway, hey, good evening to everyone out there. Thanks for those in the chat room, those listeners, and a couple callers here. Kenneth, thank you in the control room. And Robert Ravolt's up next, so please stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next week.
All my life I've been so lonesome. If happiness came, I missed the call. All my dreams have been so aimless, and now I'm so tired of it all. In life and love, I've been a loser, and too many tears had to fall, and nothing but broken vows and promises. And now I'm so tired of it all.
RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.